Gomer Joe at Mission Street. This is TabealPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming at you from downtown San Francisco at the Impact Hub at Mission and Fifth. Today is Thursday, the 4th of December. On this date in 1674, Father Jacques Marquette founds a mission on the shores of Lake Michigan to minister to the Illiniwek. The mission would later grow into Chicago. 1783, just 2 weeks after the last British ship leaves New York Harbor, firing a shot as it goes in the event we mentioned that is known as Evacuation Day at Francis Tavern, still around. In Lower Manhattan, George Washington bids farewell to his officers. 1881, the first edition of the LA Times is published. 1909, the Montreal Canadiens Ice Hockey Club, the oldest surviving professional hockey franchise in the world, is founded as a charter member of the National Hockey Association. 1956, the Million Dollar Quartet, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash get together at Sun Studios in Memphis for the one and only time. 1991, hostage Terry Anderson is freed in Lebanon. 1993, a truce is concluded between the government of Angola and UNITA rebels. Birthdays today are Renier Maria Rilke, Francisco Franco, and Jeff Bridges. And, by the way, the Austrian painter Rudolf Hausner would be 100 years old today. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Fides Polytrick column this week is about how Misha and his crew thought only about the big things, and they were not very good at the little things. Utsneba, on the other hand, is very preoccupied with individuals, but has no real grand plan for Georgia and doesn't seem to be able to think particularly big. Thanks to Dustin for mentioning Noshwalks, a company in New York that will give you a food tour of various ethnic foods, including Georgian food. Just Google it. It's Nosh, that's November Oscar Sierra Hotel. Walks, as in walking around eating Khachapuri. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Ukraine confirmed a new cabinet member on the 2nd of December, and among them is former Georgian official Sandro Kvitashvili, is now Ukraine's health minister. He served as Georgia's health minister under the UNM government for a couple of years, from 2008 to 2010. He then served as rector of Tbilisi State University until June 2013. Several hours before the confirmation of ministers, President Petro Poroshenko granted Kvitashvili Ukrainian citizenship. Poroshenko commented on having foreigners in the government, saying that Ukraine needs drastic reforms to fight corruption, and this requires extraordinary solutions. Another Georgian ex-official, Ekaz Vuladze, may also take a post in the Ukrainian government. She was deputy interior minister from 2006 to 2012. She also worked as a PR person for the Millennium Challenge account when it encountered some difficulties under the then head. Interesting to ask her about that. By the way, Sandro is married to Nicole Jordania, Noe Jordania, head of the Georgia, of independent Georgia from 1918 to 1921, is married to Noe Jordania's granddaughter. And Ekaz Vuladze is married to Rafael Glucksman, who worked for Misha and is a big supporter of the new Ukrainian government. Also very, very tight with the Sarkozy crowd in France. He's French. Other foreign nationals now in the Ukrainian government are U.S. citizen Natalia Jaresko, who became finance minister, and Lithuanian investment banker Aviaras Abromavikis, who was appointed as economy minister. Official Tbilisi is not too happy about an ex-Georgian official's appointment in Ukraine. There are rumors that they want to replace Georgia's ambassador to Ukraine over it and replace him with Zviad Djankarashvili, who's executive secretary of the Georgian Dream. By contrast, speaking on the 3rd of December, Foreign Minister Tamar Betachashvili reminded everyone that the strategic partnership between Tbilisi and Kiev is much more important than a former official's appointment to the Ukrainian government. Then, apparently on the 4th of December, BI commented and said it won't affect Georgia-Ukraine's relations and that actually we should be proud of Georgians doing well. Last week, when consultations about forming the new government were still ongoing, reports emerged that Misha might be nominated as Deputy Prime Minister of Ukraine and that ex-Justice Minister Zuta Badeshvili might also be nominated to the head of Ukraine's anti-corruption body. Both are facing criminal charges in Georgia and are wanted by Georgian authorities. Speaking from Kiev on the 1st of December, Misha told Rustavioti TV that he declined the offer because it entailed taking on Ukrainian citizenship and therefore automatically losing Georgian citizenship, which he just will not do. NATO will contribute to a planned Georgia NATO Training Center, according to NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. The announcement came after a meeting of NATO foreign ministers in Brussels on the 2nd of December. Speaking on the 3rd, Stoltenberg repeated that no third country can veto Georgia NATO partnership, since Russia vetoed Georgia NATO partnership when it was not given MAP. He stressed that opening the NATO training center in Georgia does not pose a threat to anyone. Foreign Minister Tamar Betachashvili visited NATO headquarters on the 2nd and 3rd of December and met with her counterparts from Bulgaria, Belgium, Portugal, Lithuania, Iceland, and Slovakia. She also met NATO Secretary General, Special Representative for the Caucasus and Central Asia, James Apathurai. Then Apathurai visited Tbilisi, arriving today on the 4th of December. The lari is continuing to depreciate in value against the dollar and is currently the lowest it's been in 4 years. As of the 3rd of December, one lari was valued at $1.86. Since the 18th of November, the value of the lari against the dollar has dropped 5.4%. Past 7 days, the National Bank of Georgia sold nearly $80 million at the foreign exchange currency auction, but the lari continues to depreciate. I don't really know why this is. There have been some convoluted reasons that I've read, but really seen nothing particularly logical or clear. If anybody knows, we'd be interested to hear. Email us, or post in the forum, or give us a link or something. But, like, something that says something logical and not befuddled. Following up on previous week's stories, the Muslim-Christian clashes in the southern village of Mohe on the 2nd of December, a special group was established to examine the history of the disputed building. It was decided by the Religious Affairs Agency, which had a meeting with Christians and Muslim religious figures from Mohe. The group is composed of representatives from the two religions, employees of the Monument Protection Agency, and members of regional and local governments. The commission is also tasked with updating the local community with information to avoid any further escalation of the conflict. As a reminder, clashes between the groups began in October. Muslims claimed the building was formerly a mosque and that possession of the dilapidated building should go to them. Local Christians supported the local government's decision to turn the building into a village library. Currently, construction work has been suspended. On the 1st of December, public defender Ucha Nanuashvili published a report on the Lapankuri border shooting in 2012, criticizing the previous authorities for holding back information and not properly investigating the violent incident. The days-long standoff at the border with Dagestan between Chechen fighters and Georgian security forces in August 2012 left a reported 14 people dead, 11 rebels and 3 Georgians. In October 2013, Ombudsman Nanuashvili put together his own committee tasked with investigating the incident. Now the report reveals that they have found a number of inconsistencies with the information provided by Misha's government. First, the number of people killed is wrong. Their report says that 7 rebels were killed, not 11. Second, it says that the government's claim that the rebel group came into Georgia from across the Russian border is not correct. Among the dead rebels, 3 were Georgians from Pankisi Gorge. So many people were skeptical that the rebels had come from Russia. Another reason is that the only man detained after the incident, Ahmed Chatayev, said the fighters had tried to enter Russia from Georgian territory. Third, according to their field investigations, 5 of the 7 killed rebels were not officially in Georgia during the shooting. The report also notes that evidence was not gathered from the scene of the shooting and that proper autopsies were not conducted on the bodies. The ombudsman asked Parliament to start investigating the shooting against the incident again. Nanuashvili said he suspects that there was improper and disproportionate use of force during the special operation by law enforcement bodies. Clearly, there was a lot of BS thrown around right after that whole mess, and it would be good to figure out what happened. It will also be good when Nanuashvili starts writing reports about some of the things that have been going on over the last couple of years. Following up on last week's story on Abkhazia and Russia signing a treaty, here's what Russian officials now have to say about the Georgian-Russian relations. Foreign Ministry spokesman Alexander Lukashevich said that Russia's strategic partnership and a treaty with Abkhazia poses no threat to Geneva discussions, which are extremely important. The talks were launched after the 2008 war. Likewise, Russia's deputy foreign minister Grigory Karasin, who engages in the talks with Zurab Abashidze, said that the normalization of relations is continuing where possible. The launch of BI's new talk show is postponed until February, at the earliest, and more's the pity. It's meant to be broadcast on GDS, which is owned by Beta, his son. GDS is an entertainment channel, however, and doesn't have a license to air political programs. The company applied to the Communications Commission for the appropriate license in late October. The commission said in a statement on the 28th of November that due to technical issues, GDS will not be able to completely prepare programs foreseen by the Common Broadcasting License until February 2015. GDS then requested to suspend the public administrative proceedings. It will have to send a new application for a Common Broadcaster License, which allows the company to also broadcast political programs. Interior Minister Alexander Tkhaidze paid a two-day visit to Yerevan to meet with Armenian President Serzh Sarkisian on the 2nd of December. Sarkisian's office said that the warm relationship between Armenia and Georgia will help efforts to respond to contemporary challenges and find effective solutions to regional issues of mutual concern. Tkhaidze also met the Armenian police chief and the head of Armenia's National Security Service to discuss issues of mutual concern. President Margvelashvili left for a two-day visit to Poland on the 4th of December. He met with Polish President Bronislaw Komorowski and with Marshal of the Sejm, Radoslaw Sikorski, who was previously foreign minister. What is Marshal of the Sejm? Anyway, two Georgian citizens who died during the Euromaidan protests in Ukraine were awarded the Orders of the Heavenly Hundred Heroes by President Poroshenko. Three foreigners received the awards: Zurab Khurtsia, David Kipiani, and Belarus citizen Mikhail Zhizhnevsky. The award was presented for civil courage, patriotism, and defending democracy and human rights, and humanitarian activities during the Euromaidan protests. Following up on last week's story on employees of the Georgian Railways going on strike, on the 3rd of December, they ended the strike after the Railway Trade Union reached a partial agreement with railway bosses. The employees went on strike to demand an improvement in working conditions and higher salaries. According to the agreement, the sides agreed that all employees would receive New Year's bonuses, as much as 50% of their regular salaries. The strikers' other demands: to be paid overtime compensation and also to be paid for the days they spent away from work during the strike, was not satisfied. The Railway Trade Union addressed the Constitutional Court to deal with the matter of overtime compensation, saying it is not clearly stated in Georgian legislation. Georgian Railways said if the court ruled in the workers' favors, it would compensate overtime work for each employee backdating to the 1st of January 2014. The sides also agreed to establish a commission to monitor that both sides fulfill the responsibility they agreed to in the deal. In Caucasus news, there was a gun battle in Grozny. That's Grozny, Chechnya, right up north, in the early hours of the 4th of December, which is rare since Khadyrov runs a police state. Security officers said gunmen traveling in several cars killed at least three traffic police officers at the checkpoint. They then occupied a publishing house in the center of Grozny. Security services then surrounded the building. An AP reporter saw the publishing house building in flames and heard the sound of heavy caliber gunfire before dawn. Khadyrov urged residents in Grozny to exercise caution. On his Instagram, of course, he's a big Instagram fan, though an unverified video, through an unverified video, someone's claiming responsibility for the attack, saying he is operating under orders from Chechen Islamist leader Aslan Butkayev, known to his followers as Emir Hamzat. Melco Lot Limited, a Hong Kong-listed company controlled by Melco Crown Entertainment, co-chairman Lawrence Ho Yao Lingus, is coordinating investment for a new casino project in Georgia. Mr. Ho has a core business developing casino resorts in Macau, which is the most famous casino location in Asia, and the Philippines. The project has one investor, Fidich Enterprises Co. Limited, a Taiwan-listed maker of electronic gaming machines. According to the deal, Melco Lot Limited will sell part of a wholly owned subsidiary to Taiwanese and local Georgian investors to raise $50 million for the Georgia casino project. The subsidiary, called Express Wealth Enterprise Limited, is an SPV set up to hold the license for the proposed casino project in Tbilisi. Melco Lot will sell 5,530 shares of Express Wealth to Fidich and 200 new shares to Oz Gaming Georgia LLC, a food and beverage entertainment firm in Georgia. Abkhazia awards the European Union country, regards the European Union country's policy towards citizens, its citizens, erroneous and discriminatory, according to Abkhaz Foreign Minister Yacheslav Chirkaba. In an interview with Itar Tass, he said Abkhazia will raise the issue of freedom of movement for Abkhazians at the Geneva discussion scheduled for the 9th and 10th of December. On the 1st of December, the president of Georgia's Wrestling Federation, Luka Kurtanidze, was removed from his post following a vote by Federation committee members. 33 delegates attended the meeting. Only four of them voted to keep Kurtanidze. Afterwards, Kurtanidze said he would punish those who staged the illegality against him. In September, wrestlers demanded Kurtanidze's resignation. They alleged Kurtanidze was unprofessional and failed to deal with federation issues. Kurtanidze is, by the way, a meathead. Starting on the 8th of December, Georgian aviation authorities are reducing the number of regular flights to Tbilisi by Russian airlines, according to Kommersant. Flights between Moscow and Tbilisi by Aeroflot and the airline Siberia will be reduced from 14 to 10 flights per week, and TransAero and Globus, a subsidiary of Siberia, was denied a permanent license for scheduled flights. Apparently, it's because Georgian airline Air Zana accused Aeroflot of artificially low prices for flights between Moscow and Tbilisi, and as a result, that flight route run by Georgian companies decreased by 60 to 70%. On the 3rd of December, youth group Free Zone protested in front of the old Tbilisi hotel where Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri was presenting a report about the finance ministry's work within the framework of the Open Governance Project. The protesters held posters with slogans, "Who is responsible for the increase of prices and pensions instead of bonuses?" On the 28th of November, the prison ministry opened its first modern prison smart reception unit. Under this new system, newly administered prisoners will no longer be put in an isolation cell on arrival. Yeah, sure. Instead, they will have a new, more humane screening process, including a security clearance, medical examination, conversation with a psychologist, and a sanitation discussion. After that, new prisoners will be put into a temporary holding cell before being transferred to the new living space. Georgia was criticized by the European Committee for Prevention of Torture in its 2010 and 12 reports about these quarantine areas in Georgian prisons. The report stated it was unacceptable for prisoners to be put in these areas, and in both occasions, the committee called on the Georgian government to cancel the practice. 27-year-old chess player Nana Dzaganidze ranked fourth in the World Chess Federation's latest female ranking released on the 2nd of December. Eight other Georgian female players made the list. Dzaganidze was the best individual female player during the 41st Chess Olympiad in Tromsø, Norway, earlier this year, and in 2008 she won the title of International Grandmaster. Tbilisi and the Chinese city Hangzhou signed a cooperation memorandum. It's a very beautiful city, by the way. I've been there. Signed a memorandum aimed at encouraging Georgian and Chinese entrepreneurs to develop bilateral cooperation. The memorandum was signed by Hangzhou Mayor Chen Jianhua and Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania in China on the 29th of November at an international conference attended by 260 mayors from 56 countries. Meanwhile, a government delegation from Turkmenistan was in Georgia last week to discuss economic ties and bilateral cooperation. Georgia and Turkmenistan opened a new intergovernmental economic commission. Chairman of the EU military, General Patrick de Ruyters, was on an official visit to Georgia last week to discuss projects for Georgia-EU cooperation in the military sphere. He met with Prime Minister Garibashvili and the new Defense Minister Mindia Janelidze. I didn't know there was an EU military. Wow. Learn something new every day. Wonder what language the orders have to be in. Bank of Georgia and German Development Bank, KfW, in conjunction with the Ministry of Energy, are offering competitive loans to finance the construction and rehabilitation of small hydropower projects in Georgia. They have a loan agreement worth 25 million euro within the framework of KfW's renewable energy program. Austrian-based engineering company Posch and Partners will provide. Posch and Partners sounds like a snazzy Clerkenwell London clothing line. Will provide the interested investors with technical consulting free of charge. Georgia will host a UN environmental meeting in 2016. The European Commission for the UN proposed to Georgia to host the 8th ministerial conference, which will be called Environment for Europe. The meeting will be a platform to discuss and joint efforts in addressing environmental priorities. It will also focus on helping countries of Eastern Europe, the Caucasus, and Central Asia improve their environmental standards. A delegation of Georgian soldiers participated in the 55th British Exercise Cambrian Patrol, which is one of the most physically and mentally demanding long-range reconnaissance patrolling competitions. The event is held annually and involves navigating through some of the harshest terrain in Wales. Five teams took part for the first time this year from Georgia, Brazil, Kazakhstan, Oman, and Nepal. On the 1st of December, the minister and deputy minister for displaced persons from the occupied territories went to Armenia to hold talks with the Abkhaz authorities. The meeting is focused on searching for and transferring the bodies of people who went missing during the war. The negotiations are conducted under the auspices of the Red Cross. According to a nationwide competition by the Ministry of Environment and the Swedish International Development Agency, SIDA, Svaneti is the cleanest region in Georgia. Achmeta and Kakheti was named as the cleanest municipality, and Chitskhari, a small village in Zugdidi municipality, the cleanest village. The competition was launched to increase improvement in solid waste management. Lufthansa had a pilot strike on the 2nd and 3rd of December. 1,350 flights were canceled, including two Munich-Tbilisi flights. German engineering giant Bosch will open a power tool warehouse in Tbilisi on the 16th of December. The region is currently supplied from German-based warehouse. In parliamentary news, on Friday the 28th of November, Parliament passed a law about secret surveillance that grants the Interior Ministry direct access to secret surveillance material with 73 votes in favor, 30 against. This was the bill the bill proposed by Eka Beselia that essentially gives the Interior Ministry continued power over whatever they want. And had government support as well. President Margvelashvili then vetoed the bill the next day on the 29th of November, and it's the second time that he's vetoed a decision on this bill. Following his veto, he has 10 days to submit his comments to Parliament. Then on Sunday, the 30th of November, Parliament overturned the President's veto and approved the surveillance bill. 82 MPs voted in favor of the bill, and 13 against. There was some discussion about people getting leaned on. 76 votes was required to overturn President Margvelashvili's veto. A group of NGOs, namely TI Georgia and ISFED, vowed to protest the parliament's decision. They said they would not only go out into the streets to demonstrate, but they will also sue the Georgian state and the constitutional court. In an interview on the 1st of December, Parliamentary Speaker Datha Usupashvili commented that just because the regulation was passed doesn't mean the issue of surveillance is resolved once and for all. He continued to say that reform in the Interior Ministry is inevitable and that he was sure that Parliament would support changes that will make the Ministry of Interior a European-style ministry and not militarized. In other parliamentary news, on the 30th of November, Parliament passed an amendment by the Agricultural Ministry that will regulate and ensure the quality of traditional Georgian matzoni. The law will come into force in 6 weeks. Companies will not be allowed to sell matzoni produced from vegetable fat, which apparently a lot of dairy products are, which is gross. In Kvitisazrevi this week, journalist Mehra Metrovelli proposes a new idea of what Georgia can offer Abkhazia before it's too late. He says that Khadabashvili's proposal for autonomy is not attractive to Abkhazians. They even find it ridiculous. Metrovelli suggests establishing a new Georgian-Abkhaz state like Bosnia-Herzegovina. Whether it will be a federation or a confederation is up to discussion or agreement. The word confederation has a general legal definition, the unity of two or more independent states that maintain their sovereignty, but at the same time have the right to leave the Union. However, Metrovelli argues the definition is not universal and every confederation regulates according to its own terms, such as with Bosnia-Herzegovina, none of the states have the right to leave the confederation. Good that somebody's talking about something that the Abkhaz might be interested in rather than just, you know, getting Abkhazia back, which is an old and kind of pointless conversation. The meme this week is a video of Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri speaking to journalists talking about the lottery. He says, "It is not my competence to discuss the National Bank's affairs." Yeah. Okay, stuff to read. The BBC piece summarizing current events relating to domestic violence in Georgia. A new UN report, Roadmap for Mainstreaming Aging in Georgia, gives policy recommendations on how Georgia can better care for aging population. David Klowin writes for the World Politics Review on the Russian Abkhaz Treaty, a synopsis of the new Dutch documentary about Sandra Roelofs called Stand By Your President, comes out the summer of 2015. Professor Julie George writes on Russia's relations with its neighbors this week's about Georgia, with a big focus on the 2008 war. An obituary for Kakha Benukidze in The New Yorker by Natalia Antalava called The Man Who Remade Georgia. An NDI infographic for public opinion poll on gender. Investigation by Tamar Galashvili. This is a video investigation by Tamar Galashvili and Studio Monitor that looks at Georgian educational training centers offering student degrees from Ukrainian universities. The problem is these centers are not certified, and the Georgian Ministry of Education does not recognize the degrees. The Ukraine Ministry of Education says it knows nothing about these programs. The video is in Georgian, but there are English subtitles. Also a video investigation by Salome Skagladze about how the government tested the water in rural areas, found bacteria, and said that they notified the local governments. Local officials say they know nothing about it. Citizens know nothing. Both are really great investigations. Be sure to watch and forward them around on your Facebook pages, etc. See some pictures of cool caves in Abkhazia. Manana Gabrichidze for Georgian Journal tells us about the exciting life of Rusudan Mdivani, who lived as a sculptor in Paris in the 1920s and served as a muse to famous artists. And last but not least, this from Melik Kailan in Forbes that includes the following paragraph, and I quote, "Meanwhile, Putin has made his moves to pressure Turkey. Not many people know that Georgia's current government acceded to Russia's demands to build a strategic road from Russian Dagestan through Georgia to the Azerbaijan border. This will allow the Kremlin to move assets to seal off the Azeri border at any time, meaning isolating Azerbaijan from trade with Turkey via Georgia and with Georgia itself, in effect sealing off Azerbaijan from the world. You can be sure that Georgia's regime will act in solidarity with Moscow. The Prime Minister in Tbilisi just said in a November 25th interview with the Financial Times that he opposes Western arms for Ukraine. This is the same government that has not uttered a word against Putin or for Ukraine against Putin. Essentially, the Kremlin's message to Turkey goes something like this. Don't bank on your Azerbaijan supplies, neither for yourself nor as a conduit to Europe. Nor should you have faith in the future economy of Azerbaijan to make choices, and that goes for Turkmenistan too. Do you think that the U.S. or NATO will come to your side when Russian tanks invade those places and cut you off from their oil and gas? So far, Erdogan has no reason to doubt Putin's threat. The last thing Erdogan can handle with its southern border aflame is a military threat reopening on Turkey's northern flank." End quote. Interesting. I don't know too much about that. If anybody knows anything about this alleged acquiescence to Russia building this road through Georgia to Dagestan, we'd be interested to hear about it. All these things to read or posted on the forum and to watch. This week's GeoCapital number is 515. This is the number of new HIV cases in Georgia this year, at least those registered with the Georgian AIDS and Clinical Immunology Research Center. There are 4,646 people registered HIV positive in Georgia, although officials at the center believe the actual number is much higher, probably north of 6,000. They said that in about 50% of HIV cases in Georgia, the disease has developed into AIDS. In Tbilisi on the 6th of December, IDFI and the Dutch Embassy are hosting a discussion, The Internet as a Human Right. They will have experts and recommendations talking about the challenges with the Internet for Internet users in Georgia. It will be at the Multimedia Education Center, 10A Chavchavadze. That's not the one in Vake. It's Alexandre Chavchavadze, which is the one that goes up Tutsminda from the opera, at 2 p.m. You're supposed to fill out a registration form, so write i.beria@idfi.ge. That's india.beria, with a B for Bravo, E-R-I-A, at idfi.ge. If you're in California, don't forget that UC Berkeley is showing Georgian films as part of the exhibition Discovering Georgian Cinema until April. Go to their site at bampa.berkeley.edu and look up their film programs. for a full schedule and tickets, there'll be some films this week and next, and then a break until January. In preparation for the International Anti-Corruption Day on the 9th of December, when the Corruption Perception Index is released, TI Georgia is hosting an anti-corruption week where they're hosting different talks and presenting research. Go to their site, transparency.ge/EN-anti-corruption-week-2014 to learn more. A lot of very cool topics. If you're in Tbilisi on the 13th and 14th of December, there's an Amnesty International letter-writing campaign. You write letters of support to political prisoners or sign a petition to their governments for their release. Various cafes around the city will participate. You just write the letters and Amnesty sends it. Check out the Facebook page. Look up AI Write, W-R-I-T-E, for the number 4, Rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, Georgia, 2014. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And how could we not? This is from 1956, from the Million Dollar Quartet. We'll finish with Have a Little Talk with Jesus.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Remember that? I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Fairer than a little light from heaven filled my soul. Then he made my heart in love. Well, just a little talk with my Jesus gonna make me right. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. I tell him all about my troubles. He will hear I'm faint and crying. He will answer. Well, when you feel a little fire will turn, and you will know a little fire burn, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. We have doubts and fears. Your eyes be filled with tears. Oh, now my Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. He wrote my name above. And he made my heart in love. Well, just a little talk. Jesus gonna make it right. Now, let us have a little talk with my Jesus.
Please let us
tell him all about our trouble.
Now he will.
He'll hear our faintest cry.
You know he will.
Fire is a burning. Let us have a little talk with my Jesus. Gonna make it right.
Yes, sir.
Cry,
and you know he
won't answer by and by.
feel a little prayer wheel a turning in the hand. I know a little fire is a burning.
Now let us
have a little talk with my Jesus. Gonna make it right.